important that he's introduced it and get it in. And then Al and I have had some conversations about, like, with other projects he can, about thinking about you guys taking up changes to design districts at the same time, taking up the approvals for the project in question. And so that's kind of, you know, however you guys want to do that, I think is totally fine. I just figured it was important to sort of kick it forward and get it in for you guys, because otherwise I didn't want you guys to say, oh, well, UDD says this, your project is that, go away until it meets the UDD standard. So I thought to have the discussion at this body, you guys kind of needed a question before we put in front of you.
The other thing, you know, beyond the height issue for the amendment, there are many aspects you need to remember that need to be covered, which are not necessarily less important, but just as important to look at as far as the overall project. So having an information presentation or look at it to either do, we thought it would be something that was more appropriate rather than bringing that ordinance in right now. I'm going to pass on UDD number 8, and Chris is going to start the conversation relevant to that as he goes through the journey.
We have some time constraints. What are you hoping for time on the discussion this evening?
We'd like to get out of here as soon as possible.
we'll take as
much time as we need to listen and learn and give comments, but we're not necessarily looking for it. But we do have one or two people in the audience who will certainly be welcome to make their comments.
Okay, I think. Fair enough. 700 Road Block, East Washington, is currently part of the old Don Miller site, one of the Don Miller sites. Through our process, RFP process last summer, Gephardt Development was selected for a proposal that we had put on the 800 block. Through negotiations with city staff, we did move to the 700 North block. The site is bordered on two sides by Reynolds Transfer, the existing users there. Water utility, 800 North block here, East Washington, and gas station and curb break place out there. Our program has four major components. We've got a centralized parking structure that is bordered by three sides by commercial retail use off of Livingston and East Washington, lower density residential use off Mifflin, and then a residential tower structure that's sitting on top of that. The side facing the Reynolds property, I did note in the packets that we have some ideas as to how to treat that. We certainly don't want to leave it all exposed, and we're working on that internally and also with city staff. With regards to Urban Design District 8, this is an illustration of what we're doing in terms of massing, what is required in there for street level facade heights, setbacks, step backs, and usage, and we comply with all of those. We are requesting at the East Washington area, we're requesting an additional 17 feet of height for two more stories. This orange area is the allowable height per Urban Design District 8, depending on floor-to-floor heights. And then you can see that this is where we're exceeding that as far as we can get on East Washington. Another critical part of UDD 8 is a 30-degree setback line from East Mifflin Street, and we do comply with that. Then there's a 45-degree line from East Washington when the building exceeds 130 feet, and that affects us right here. Since this portion of the tower is so far set back, we're about 70 feet, or about 65 feet off of the property line on East Washington. So that only begins to affect us on a corner. A couple of our major objectives for this project was to take the streetscape and really activate it between on Livingston and East Washington. And we're attempting to do that through a variety of spaces here with some elevation changes, a very porous buildingscape on the street level, and really making bike parking and the pedestrian scale stand out. I think, Eric, can you speak a little bit about our thoughts on that?
We're
If you look at the East Washington Gateway Corridor design guidelines, you can see some of the vignette sketches that they drew. They really wanted to get a little bit more, not a plain or a flat landscape. They wanted to get some interaction with some elevation changes. So the idea is that it's not just a thoroughfare to go through. We're trying to create a space that's going to actually hold people, create seating opportunities with seat walls, with cafe seating, integrating into the building, and making it so when you come into the streetscape, you're not just flowing through. You have the opportunity of flexing in and out and underneath the building. Did you provide them with the streetscape?
Mm-hmm.
There should be a plan in there that has some graphics. We're playing off of the theme of Constellation. It should be a black and white landscape plan. Did that go in? Yep, right there. C12. We're playing off of the themed name for the project is Constellation. So playing off of some streetscape or some paving patterns, it gives the idea of a constellation in very broken down forms. But the idea is to really create a lot of excitement, a lot of different pattern changes, a lot of different opportunities. So if you want to be sit by yourself, you can. If you want to gather in an informal group, we're providing those opportunities as well. Another bigger component that we heard a lot from the neighborhood and from just listening sessions was community gardens. So on the corner of Mifflin and North Livingston, we're providing a space. What that is, we'd like to get a little bit more structured so it's not as informal, so it really ties to the urban environment, and it's not so willy-nilly like you see on some of the other urban gardens. And then creating more of a walk-up terrace garden, that kind of approach to the rear landscape, so that transitions into a more residential setting as you abut up to the potential residential on East Mifflin. So, in a nutshell, trying to create a lot more diversity in the landscape, elevationally, landscape. There's actually some people that are talking about if there was a restaurant, the opportunity of going out and actually picking the herbs directly from the planter, stuff like that. So things that are really going to make an exciting landscape that are hold people longer than just that 5 o'clock timeline.
And in addition to that, on the fourth floor, we do have our setbacks. The footprint above on the fourth floor, we set back as we go higher up. We do have two very nice areas here for green roof gardens on top of the parking deck.
And those patterns from the streetscape will revert up and tie into that those green spaces in the buildings themselves as well.
And this is an informational presentation. We're obviously working through a lot of the details and issues as they come up. We've been working through a lot of back of the house issues. There's horrible soil bearing conditions there. There is some contamination on the site that we've been dealing with and coming up with some management plans. We've internally done unit adjacency studies and unit studies to determine privacy requirements and unit uses. But right now, here's a pretty good snapshot of where we are in terms of program and massing and the compliance with UDDA. And I think that a further discussion about the UDDA requirements is certainly welcome.
That's your presentation.
We're continuing to work with staff and the owner.
We have one registration from an individual who wishes to speak. That's David Warren.
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm David Waugh, I live on Mifflin Street, and I've been there 20 years. For the last 2 years, I was voted by my Tenney Lapham Neighborhood Association Council to be the development chair of our organization. So one of the things we did was we are working with these folks early on, and so far there was the large neighborhood meeting back in August when all the proposals, and then they came to our council and went through the proposal, and then they came to our spaghetti dinner and talked about our proposal, all the time gathering feedback, and then we formed a smaller steering group, which will be a little more I think interactive on a more regular basis, and so far they've been just wonderful to work with. I wanted to quickly go over some of the feedback so far, which has been very positive, overwhelmingly positive. Some of the things that the neighborhood likes, of course, rehabilitating a blighted site, mixed use, which is in our neighborhood plan with housing and retail and commercial. All of the sustainability aspects, such as stormwater collection, passive solar, open space, hiding the parking structure, low water fixtures, all kinds of cool stuff. We're also cognizant that this is the very first big development in the Don Miller lots, and for that matter, the entire build planning area. So we think that's a huge plus, and we're hoping that gives momentum to further projects. We love that they came to us early on and have been very receptive to the neighborhood. Hiding the parking structure is great, and massing towards East Washington, which is very important. The concerns that have been raised, building height, you know, a lot of people are for extra building height and have no problems. And I would say those that have problems, you know, a big chunk of those just are concerned about the fact that there's recent plans. So if it goes higher, then the plans should be changed to reflect that. And I think then people will be more comfortable. And it sounds like that's what's going to happen anyways. So that's right on track. Traffic circulation, big issue with East Mifflin being a bike boulevard. And we're, of course, concerned that anybody needing to go east, there's a barrier right now. They can't go east. Delivery trucks, all of this is going to be forced onto Mifflin. So trying to work with the city to open that up for a full intersection would be ideal. So Capitol View Shed, not really a big issue, but it's good to know. We've asked them to let us know, is it going to block the view of the Capitol from the Bree Stevens stands? Probably will. Not a showstopper, but we need to let people know so they don't get excited later on. There's not been a lot of discussion on materials and design, so we want the best project going forward we can get. The parking structure, of course, people will see it, so they've already, sounds like they're going to address some of that. And time frame, you know, it's a tight schedule. We're going to try to work hard to work with that pinch time frame, but it is something that, that's an issue. So thanks. And I was on the bill committee.
Yeah, so, you know, any personal thoughts on that process and what happened? And the first big project, you know, of course, wants to amend the plan.
It's an issue, and amending the plan is not desired. I mean, obviously, we would love this to fit completely within the envelope of build, which would mean a little more employment we would like to see and to keep, you know, in the plan. However, we do recognize this is the first project, and that being said, there needs to be some momentum. So I think that there's a desire to perhaps, you know, allow these changes so that this first project, which is always the riskier one, right, to give them a little extra oomph to move forward and get something going in the district. So.
East Washington Avenue's build basically encouraged a green setback on East Washington Avenue. And his comment was, put some green along the setback on East Washington Avenue where there are more trees and a green roof than on the setback we have a problem. So there's a lot of hardscape here. We encourage more trees, more green at the setback. Actually, where sidewalk was not sufficient, we required more. We actually required that the setback itself be green and incorporate more trees behind the sidewalk so we can enhance that boulevard appearance. And that's his concern.
Yeah, I remember Tom here talking a lot about that at this FUDD review.
Okay. Comments, questions?
I have a question. Could you speak a little bit about the different feelings on the street? Because East Washington, you're never going to form a relationship with the building across the street. But Livingston, I mean, you've got a shot at a commercial environment where, you know, the across the street relationship is building as much energy as your own. And then, of course, Mifflin, more residential. But I kind of ask that because at a glance, when I look at the massing, it seems like it was stepped back, kind of been with all streets equally addressed in terms of setback. But could you just speak a little bit about the types of streetscapes?
Well, I think that's a great question. And what we need to do is respond to what's happening on 800 North Block. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, we've seen some preliminary things, but that will certainly begin to inform, you know, at our next iteration here, what's happening on the Livingston side, most definitely. In terms of the streetscape, Gary, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I appreciate the comment of the green. However, to really create a space that's going to attract, and I mean, think of Chicago. If all of the buildings up against Chicago were lawn or shrubs, you wouldn't have that congregation space. So we're trying to create an environment that's going to hold, it's more of an urban space along East Washington. We're trying to green it up with those planters. We can pop in more landscape areas within the outside or inside the right-of-way on the property. But the idea is you need to have that place where people are going to come, they're going to hang out, they're going to sit on a bench or sit on a planter wall and have that separation between the true pedestrian flow and the urban space. So I appreciate the idea of being as green as possible. We'd like to add more trees as far as the boulevard or the tree lawn. It just is, it kind of bumps up against the idea, unless we allow people to really sit on lawns and we're doing cafe tables on lawn pads or something like that. That's an idea that we could investigate.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking lawns. I mean, I think of Michigan Avenue, you have a depth of trees that helps provide green space.
What Mark Olin is pointing out here is that there needs to be more trees off the right-of-way.
Sure.
And so that'll be something I think you guys are going to have to balance between
sure.
what you're seeing as you're performing, like your structured space, you know, you have a cafe seating area, which is fine, but then in terms, I think what they're saying with your landscaping plan is you have to do more substantial plantings and
it is a requirement.
And it's a requirement. It's not sort of a suggestion, it's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And planters aren't going to get you there, I think, is what you guys are saying.
Yeah. Right. So you're looking for more of a vertical green element.
Yes.
Along the street sweep. Along East Washington Avenue.
And off of the right of way.
Correct. We can play with
mm-hmm.
popping in more trees and creating that space. As far as the East Livingston, and Chris spoke of this a little bit, we're not certain what's happening on the 800 block. We would love to have a great integration
mm-hmm.
and just a complete flow and then the ability to block that street off and create some kind of a festival space. That would be just a big bonus for the neighborhood. It's just that we just don't quite know what's going on in that 800 block.
Yeah.
I don't think you have the ability since you're first in the shoot, so you basically establish what's
going
to happen.
Yeah, and we can if we're allowed, we would like to show that, but it starts to get within, you know, street reconstruction, the cost of the project starts to go up. So we're kind of trying to stay within the right of way where we're allowed.
Let me just say real quick, Don, also
the commissioner.
Yes,
say their thing before.
Sorry.
Because my comment on interaction, I mean, you're you have three entries off of East Wash into the built space, the commercial space, but on the Livingston side, you know, there's one office entry and one lobby entry.
Mm-hmm.
I think Livingston is your chance to create a place where people might actually want to sit.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe the green space on Livingston is wider, and maybe East Wash is more urban or
mm-hmm.
a different type of feeling on East Wash, but kind of I just don't think the treatment of the two facades the same.
Equally.
Yeah,
sure.
It's because, I mean, you'll buzz down East Wash. It's an uncomfortable place to sit and walk right now, and you're going to improve that. But Livingston, you can walk. You can park your bike without fear. And if you saw kind of a green oasis, I think it might start drawing more pedestrian circulation between the two lakes.
Marsha, next to Minnesota.
I just want to follow up on that one of the four criteria for the design district is to create a boulevard. So, I mean, you're going to be the first ones out, and you're going to help set the tone for the adjacent development. So, really, I think that will be something we will want to look at. And I'm really appreciating Don's comments, because I do kind of like the architecture direction. I want to be an iconic building. I don't want a background building. So I want you to, you know, you've been doing such interesting stuff. I don't want us to say that's not what you want. But I think Don's sort of nailing it on how you, the facade or the mass treats the different streets. And really, I guess, you know, I don't know that a lot of the pedestrian life will be on East Washington. I mean, you want to have something there, because who knows what the future holds. But, yeah, I think Livingston, as you know, is going to be... And when you create something there, of course, across the street, their building will have to respond. Mm-hmm. Well, so, I mean, I think you have an opportunity to shape the future beyond your own space. So I appreciate the comments so far.
And Livingston is programmed a little bit differently, and we are definitely working with different brokers about potential tenants, and they're on the ground level and the upper level, and that will help inform entries and how that space is used as well. I do completely agree. Treating them as identical as we're representing, we've got some ways to go to define that, but without a doubt.
I want to second what Don just said and what Marsha followed up, that I think that the people space belongs more on North Livingston rather than East Washington. That hardscape space you've got, I mean, I like the idea of the constellation. I think that would be really fun, so I want to note that. But that space, that 22-foot dimension between property line, which is actually another couple feet to sidewalk, I fear is going to be just too wide without anything. And I think that working on the boulevard, the canopy trees, which can tie into the constellation thing, that could work. Now, East Washington is parking on this block. Is there parking on this block? Is there street parking?
Yeah, there is.
So, but the address of this building is going to be on East Washington, right?
The address will actually be on Livingston.
So, can you talk a little bit about marking the entry on, well, just putting the entry on Livingston versus East Washington? And I can understand both directions, but I'd like to get your perspective on why the front door of the building is on the side street.
Well, the front door, in terms of the, that would be the primary entrance to the upper floors and to the residential units.
Mm-hmm.
Where we anticipated most of the street traffic on the first floor, that's where we had talked about spreading the entries around per each per each storefront. To facilitate a drop-off point, to facilitate what we felt was a less frantic kind of buzzsaw on East Washington, we thought it was just a much nicer environment to have an entry off of Livingston, split between East Washington and the Bike Boulevard, provide opportunities for tenants or for employees to park on the street or up one level.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, isn't there also consideration from the fire department as well, though, that you're getting into about why the address has to be on Livingston?
Well, because we're placing the main entry and then the fire department center. And on that corner, we do have to have, you know, we're working with staff everywhere right now to develop different iterations for a strong corner element there.
When you say corner element, you can see I crocheted in the, you've got a large column there, or some mass.
If that's an opportunity for signage or any other green element.
I also wonder about that. I do wonder about having a large map and having a whole corner, but I'm not sure. The building is so transparent that breaking it up where you want to get the most transparency. With that piece there, I wonder about. And I'm not sure of placing it there on the basis of putting signage. Obviously, I'm glad you're thinking about signage early on, as opposed to, you know, oftentimes you see scrambling at the back end and trying to get it dissolved. So I wonder about that. I know that you're very early on stage, but any notions of what cladding you're thinking about? What materials are on the table? And what are not?
Masonry is on the table, and based on our last staff meeting, everything else is off the table.
Okay, so you're not thinking.
I don't like the brick. I think they've done a rendering in the brick, and it looks really heavy. Like, I like this building a lot more than I like the brick. Well, and we have so many background brick buildings that I'm very concerned about.
When you say masonry, you're thinking. You've got stone, you've got furnished block, and you've got brick.
No, it was just brick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you not? I'm glad to hear that the precast panels for this location are. You probably weren't thinking of those originally, right? Just say yes.
Yes and no. I would like to have a continued discussion on this, and certainly at our next meeting, I would like to bring some samples in of a polished precast panel. In a dark color that we think would
Pondo has done some wonderful things in concrete and blah blah blah, but I'm not sure if this is the location for it. But did you talk about metal panels?
It came up briefly.
And was it not warmly received for any part of the project?
For the field. Yeah. And I think I agree with that. You know, obviously we've got to have some accents in here. We've got to work it out. We've got to continue this.
I actually think that a clean, sophisticated metal panel system could be really elegant and fit the architecture. So was there any more specificity from staff as opposed to, no, we just don't want it? Or was it...
Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to reserve my comments because I totally disagree with staff on this one.
I think staff had a strong initial reaction. I think once the massing starts getting a little more worked out, once you start understanding the relationships between the materials and the openings and the fenestration, I think that we are going to push the discussion to look at some other options. In addition
including metal panels.
I would like.
And I'm talking about a smooth panel or, you know, red for corrugated. It seems like this building wants to be light and introducing masonry. Not that that doesn't fit some areas. What you got two blocks down is the Bree Stevens. Mm-hmm. Two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that. And there's obviously a lot of masonry buildings. So, in terms of the height, I am a little concerned that this plan is only 3 years old, 2 years old.
Oh, no.
No,
it's more than that.
'06.
So is it that long?
No. When was it back then?
That we're already pushing
build
it.
Plan.
I mean,
it's the build plan.
I think the greater density is the better in terms of my perspective, but I have concerns about changing it from the start unless it's possible that I can change the plan. What are the top two? Thanks. Chris, you got retail here, and these two are office plates?
Yes.
Okay, and then residential. Okay. Condos, apartments, orders?
They would be rental, market rate apartments with an option to convert them at some point in the future if that market turns out.
One of the things that concerns me about the height, beyond just how tall it is the proportion of these top three stories
It almost seems like this piece wants to come up another floor. I realize you've got to take care of your sight line, your angle of repose from the street, but it almost looks like it's because of the proportion, it looks like it's a different building on top and not integrated as well.
No, it looks like that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I know it's informational. So, but I think the ground plane, in terms of wrapping the building on the three sides, the low story courtyard. What sheet is the Livingston elevation? What sheet is that?
It should be 4.2.
You're on the right track in terms of scaling the building down to the townhouses, so I think that's, I think you're doing well there. And in terms of the neighborhood, the egress into the parking garage, that's well received off of Livingston, I think.
Sort of. You don't want it on next to the bike boulevard?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's okay.
Yeah, and we're trying to keep the path of travel from Livingston back up.
The soils are bad, so is there a basement in this building? No basement. Okay. I assume that was the answer.
The water table's at 4.5 feet.
Okay. What's your warm water? Source of gray water.
Constant.
All right, thank you.
But actually, can I just take a step back? On the East Washington versus Livingston entry, would you see a domain entry on East Washington?
I didn't feel... I could see it either location, and I wanted to see why you put it there. I think that the fact that we seem to be saying that the sitting space, the activity space should be here, lends itself more toward having the entry here. Mm-hmm. So I think that makes sense. And still having entries off of here for retail spots. So I think it's fine. I just wanted to know more about it. I am concerned about this piece here.
Mm-hmm. And that's something we're continuing to work on with the owners.
And I think maybe images where you take out the trees and pick up the cars and you see the volume is really more telling.
I've noticed some folks who come in who I recognize service from that neighborhood. Even though we started the matter, if you still wish to register to speak, please fill out a green form.
David, did you register?
I did.
I think Mr. Wong can carry it for us. I don't know about that. I want to register. I trust this guy. Give me a gun.
How do you register if you've missed everything?
Have a seat. Yeah, I said Brett.
We need to start at 5:25.
No. Your band material. I just said you don't have that selected yet. Maybe it's just concrete, but...
Don't know. We're just trying to get that graphic to get the excitement,
yeah.
To get the...
Mm-hmm. That needs to be substantial.
It does.
Even though Malware went through there.
Yeah.
Except for the slip, the tactile aspect of it. So I encourage you not to use concrete.
Correct.
Even the timber could be interesting.
I don't know if you're not familiar with the Grand Text. It's more of a cobble-ish type,
yeah.
Green. It doesn't slip. You get some great texture. Thinking something like that,
okay.
Just to give a little bit more greenness to the texture of the landscape.
From the clashes that you showed, is that because of something structural happening beneath?
Well, there is an overhang.
Okay.
So you're underneath.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was ever described, really.
Because they're strategically placed. Once this band gets going, stop, it just ruins the flow of that band.
To get, right.
Think about, can we
have
any rectangular planters?
Yeah.
Can we have flush planters that are curvilinear that relate to the band?
They're flush grade, you can take something through?
Right.
Okay,
yep. I mean... And this, I know this is initial stuff, but while you're thinking the big picture, these are the narrow pieces,
yep.
That can make that scene. Right now, it seems real possible with a lot of stuff that's breaking that up.
Right.
Even the placement of those are bike stalls in there, right?
We were actually, what we did is we segregated, if you can see in the plan, there's gray dots. And what we did is the concept was to try to separate this
okay.
sitting. static space with the flow space. So we kind of lined it with whatever that is, a bollard, with some kind of graphic that represents a cosmic. We don't know yet.
So for this, the purpose of this, anything between dimensions can either detract from or enhance your band.
Okay.
If it's not enhancing it, it's a juxtaposition that should provide energy, not disruption.
Right. Okay.
What do you mean by the band? I'm not
understanding. There's a band on the top.
Or the C1.
That's
the part. Or the C. See the band in
here? That's the like a branch that just keeps.
It's a branch.
Branching out.
Thank you.
And so, also with that, the.
Far right.
To get another line of green in here.
Yeah.
The trees.
I think where we're putting those bollards, we can start to place some trees, get some vegetation along that, and get that more boulevard LA kind of feel.
Because the rectangling your placement of those trees can start to add energy juxtaposed to the band. And where I would like to see planters that were raised is up in your community garden, because some people will be in wheelchairs tending the gardens. Some people can't get down to the knees tending the gardens. And you're showing ornamental grasses, things like that. I'd extend that all the way through to the ornamental. I'm sorry, you're showing native grasses.
Mm-hmm.
Have the ornamental trees be native as well?
Correct. That would be the intent. Is it's every plant that's selected is as indigenous as possible.
Good. So. And then the only other thing I have is, if you do, if there ends up being a restaurant that would use herbs from the garden,
mm-hmm.
I'd be concerned that. People walking with dogs. Enough said?
Yeah.
Raise planting.
But in
the
time. It's monitoring. You hear that in a lot of the neighborhoods. They want to go out, they want to have a garden, they want to walk outside, and they want to pick. And you know, so it's more of a concept. Is it a reality? I don't know. We're even still playing with, you know, a vertical green elements. If you can play with something like that. When you were talking about this, one thing, that centerpiece, could that just be a green? Could it be a tree trunk? Could it be something that looks like it's the old sentinel oak? We're still playing around with those kind of ideas. Again, we'd like to see, you know, some water integrated with some vegetation so that it, you know, create that. But I think we truly hold people here. It has to be a pausing space, and it's got to be. Like you can huddle yourself back in a corner and drink your coffee and watch people. And that's kind of the intent. And I understand it, now that you said this, mm-hmm. about this, we were thinking this was a congregating area,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm hearing it's going to, okay, and that's good. That's good. This may be more active, and that's why we're doing these elevated cafes, because the thought was retail was more facing out towards East Washington, with the residential emphasis being here. But if we can swing that around, we might be able to integrate both Livingston and East Washington at the same time to make that work. But I appreciate the synergy that needs to happen with that band. That's good.
Let me take the other people who requested to speak at this point. Richard Freihofer?
Yes, sir.
Want to speak?
Sure. Richard.
Hi, Ben.
Oh, come on. Okay. Richard Freihofer, live at 919 East 8th Street, which this is going to be a major impact on me. I've been in the Marquette Neighborhood Association for a number of years. Now I'm back with the Tenney Lapham Neighborhood Association. We had our steering committee meeting several weeks ago regarding this project. There were about 12 people there. Never seen this happen in the 20 years that I've been involved in neighborhood politics. Pretty much everybody agreed, including our past president, Patrick Donnell, that this is going to be a real positive for the neighborhood. So that's why I came down here, to just say that we got to get something going on, because this, I'm hoping for job number one. But I just think this is going to be really great for my neighborhood. That's it. Thanks.
And Brenda Kumpel.
I pretty much agree. we're happy to see some development going on here. There are some minor issues with the those types of things, but I don't really think that the height, which a lot of staff seem to think is the biggest issue, is the biggest issue. To me, there wasn't enough details at that meeting to know, and I never support or oppose a project until I see the staff report, because there's always a wealth of information that's in that staff report. What I really want to talk about is not so much the project, but the process for this, because holding this meeting the day before Thanksgiving at 5:30, and then to get here and have the process already be done by the time I walked in the door, even though it was scheduled for 5:25, I know those are estimates, but it's just a crappy process. And I know there was budget last week, but earlier this week we had the same problem. We scheduled three meetings on this project at the same time. It was at Planning Commission Board of Estimates and a special Economic Development Committee hearing. So I just think the process on this has sucked from the beginning, with the illegal meetings that were held, with the committee that was set up and then never publicly noticed. Nothing about the project. It's just the city process has gotten worse instead of better. And I'm afraid that it's a result of the, you know, all that process we went through with the Economic Development Committee and improving the process for the business. I think it's turned out to be really horrible for the neighborhoods and the people who try to participate. So I just think rushing this through like this is very problematic. We brought it up at the steering committee, but they still went forward and had this meeting tonight because that's when it was scheduled. Not their fault. I just think the city should really think about it. Because how is someone supposed to participate under these circumstances? Three meetings scheduled at the same time earlier this week, and one at 5:30 right before Thanksgiving? It's not fair to the public.
Well, from a staff perspective.
Luckily, the project's not so bad.
From a staff perspective, though, we had no choice but to schedule a meeting on this Wednesday because we cannot meet during budgets, as you know. Otherwise, we'd have two consecutive weeks of two consecutive meetings. At the same time, on this agenda.
Who does that inconvenience, the public or the staff, though?
They have two UDC meetings one week after another. That's how it would have been. Now, in setting up this particular agenda for this meeting, I discouraged every applicant, frankly, from being on this agenda. All right?
Yeah.
That's why we had five people. That's why we had three consent items on this agenda, which is why we got to it.
Yeah. Right. I should have known. I should have been here earlier, but said 5:25, you guys are never early.
It is frustrating. But we haven't changed our procedures a bit about any of those things. We're still...
I know, but the general public doesn't know that. I know that. General public doesn't.
Okay.
So it sucks.
We're all working on the day before Thanksgiving, so, you know, it's not a city holiday.
Who's working tomorrow?
That's my mother. We have other commission members who do wish to say things, and Albert on it, she wishes to say something. So, Marsha, I think, was next. Fawn, and then we'll go to
thanks for explaining to me the branches. I missed that page, the fine tuning. But one thing that really did strike me that I did notice was all the bike parking at the corner. And I really, you know, when I think about corners and how important they are and how we talk about corners a lot, and it's going to be a sea of bicycles. So I guess I would hope that you would continue to look at that.
Distribution more?
Yeah, and, you know, the bicyclists on the committee would say, you know, I want to go to the nearest, you know, they want to be nearest the front door wherever they're heading toward, whether it's their residence, visiting a friend, or the retail. So I would look at distributing it sort of based on that. That's one thing. And, you know, as far as the urban design district, you know, I went through this whole process along with David and a friend of mine, Oliver, at the time, and I do get attached to plans, but I think the key thing in the plan that is being honored in your proposal is the 30-degree angle. I think if that weren't there and the impact on the neighborhood, it could be a lot more oppressive. So I think to me, there's two things I wanted to weigh on, and I say that's the key one. And then the comments on kind of disturbing the rules and material. I'll do everything I can to help you not let them turn this into a brick building, because I don't know what these materials are in your mind when you present them, but nothing reads to me brick. And maybe that's my own lack of seeing, but I mean, can you tell us kind of what you were thinking when you made these renderings, just so I have a sense of your inspiration as opposed to what you're hearing from staff, so that we have a sense of what you are hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of this, we really don't have that much field here, but we were thinking about wrapping it in a smooth metal panel, not a corrugated metal panel. And then on the lower side, we have a composite wood material, which is pretty good, park-like stuff. You know, that's actually pretty cool. It's like I describe it as a Chris Craft boat. I mean, it kind of seems shiny, and it's very rich for the bottom two levels. Now, the owner does have requests for some masonry on the first floor, and then potentially on the corner here with some limestone panels as well. So that's what we had in our pilot. That's what we're trying to coordinate everything in. I think that and until we can get all of that organized, then go back and talk to staff, and then we'll come back to you guys again. We would like to keep a more diverse palette as an option.
And that carries out into those planters and those elements as too. So having that indigenous stone brought into the project really kind of exemplifies what the sustainable aspects of the project are trying to do as well. So.
And it's honestly, you know, hearing the alder and the neighbor saying they would support the tolerability, I mean, it does require an amendment change that we will also see separately. But at some point, I assume that you have a plan B if somehow it doesn't move forward with the amendment. No plan alternate. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, in terms of determining height and if additional height's a good idea, can you bring a little bit of context? You know, that's from over Cooter Building, and there are some taller, I know you're going to exceed the height of those, but at least to give a sense of scale of the area. There's oodles and oodles of used down East Wash and what scale could be, but something to give us a sense of.
Yeah.
A two-dimensional elevation? I mean.
Anything to give us a sense of what it is.
Yeah, I think wasn't there.
There's photos in there, but they don't quite give you.
I think a two-dimensional for me personally would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I can. We have a site section through.
That's
right. I can send it. I can email it to everybody.
That's just to get some broader context.
Mm-hmm.
The townhouses and the apartments that are kind of back to back each other reminded me of the Market Room. I mean, just take a walk. They have gorgeous mm-hmm. courtyards. So maybe there's some, you know, little reminiscent tying in of courtyards. And just, I mean, the overall, just I'll stress again the collective effort that there will be to make this a place, mm-hmm. even though you're first, tying in
you
retail
mean across Livingston.
Tying in retail fronts across Livingston, tying green spaces together. I mean, if you have a lot of green in Livingston, your next block is a park. I mean, you've got a chance to start to tie things better and make a bigger collective effort. Even when you're first in a vacant wasteland.
With plastic tents across the street.
Yeah, start seeing what's there. And, you know, if you walk two blocks, what are you tying together with? And you've got some fantastic opportunities.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. And, at this point, we have to determine can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the part where we do things.
And we can convey, you know, futuristic what if, but there is a project.
Mm-hmm. And even in your boundaries, just kind of thinking what might happen or what you're kind of, you know, setting okay. somebody up for. You know.
Kind of like mm-hmm. Chris did. Yeah. With the
and just think how people use the spaces differently, because East Wash, if I'm sitting outside on East Wash, I likely have a cup of coffee in my hand and I'm looking for a bus. If I'm on Livingston, I might lounge and enjoy a meal or
mm-hmm.
relax more, but just think how people will use the spaces.
I guess, can you guys pull up the brick building here? This is sort of news to me. It's not part of these conversations with staff. Go one more over so you can side by side. Yeah. I'm really concerned in some ways in terms of the direction of this on the brick. I feel like it's getting really heavy milling. And in terms of sort of the vision for the corridor of this being 21st century new employment center, the future, and then you look at like West Wash and I'm thinking of like Metropolitan Place where it's very throwback. I don't want to see this go in that kind of brick throwback direction. So I'd sort of say to you guys are the design committee. You know, you guys are the ones who should be calling some shots on those design elements. I guess I'll kind of hold off on any comments on the UDD changes, because I think that'll be a discussion for next meeting. I'd like to know if you guys have some sense and thoughts about what direction for me to work with these guys on. We didn't talk at all about that backside of that art piece. I think that could be really exciting. You can see it's a big sort of open spot right now in the plan. If you guys saw that and had any initial comments. The other thing, too, that I would say from sort of a neighborhood perspective, the tower has been really the focus, and it's probably a lot simpler, but I'd be curious on some thoughts or feedback on the Mifflin Street facade, because that is that very human scale. And I don't want it to be lost along the way. And I think nobody's like losing it necessarily along the way. It's just there's so much more over here. So if you guys have some thoughts, I don't think it's like horribly out of whack. Overall, I think that you guys have made the comments in terms of the design district and the things that are happening here, which are a really positive thing. There's been a lot of very positive responses from the neighborhood. To give you guys a little bit of background in terms, and Marcia knows this, she was on the committee, but in terms of what's being proposed for across the street, phase one has, from ULI, has the building on the other side of the block, and this side of the block is set to stay as a surface parking lot until the market dictates that they have enough tenant base to build their other office building. And at that point, then, that corner and at simultaneously is supposed to get built, so then on the back side with a parking ramp that's framed in some townhouses. And so that's like a 10-year thing. So for a long time, if the ULI proposal ends up being the final thing that gets signed off on, there is a big question mark about when that will see development, because it's not on the table for phase one, kind of even for phase two. It's more like phase three as the market allows. I have way more concerns about that block and the proposal there than I do for this block, but it is, at least in terms of, if you guys are kind of wondering about, the 10-year strategy about that connection across Livingston, that the front part of the block is supposed to be a 4-story office building, and then the parking ramp has been proposed to be, like, what the entrance is supposed to be pretty much opposite where your entrance is, kind of.
Yeah, actually, there's an existing curb cut right here. I think they're going to use that.
Yeah.
In mid-block.
Yeah. So, and then with a marginal amount of, like, maybe 2 townhouses then on the outside. So, but I think that you guys, I'm happy with what you guys have brought up about, like, the Livingston facade, because anyone who lives here or travels this knows, East Wash, you're holding on for dear life as the cars go whizzing by, and that's not going to change. But in terms of trying to make that a livable streetscape, we had some discussions about the bikes. They were wondering about putting the bikes in the terrace strips, and I said, no, that's the bane of our neighborhood right now, is people have bikes chained to every surface. Because nobody has built-in bike parking, so I'm definitely looking, or at least my perspective has been to try to pull the bike parking off and away. So good catch on that corner thing, because on the bike parking. I guess I like the design direction they're going in terms of the modern nature of it. And I'm curious, if you guys had any thoughts. I'm sort of looking at the townhouse slide, and if you guys have some details there, because so many people coming up Mifflin are going to see that, and I think in some ways that's an important streetscape to think about as well. So that would be, those are just kind of based thoughts. We can
can give you my whole philosophy on the design districts that way. But if there's any cues that you guys have, we're looking to do a neighborhood meeting, like first week in December, maybe beginning the second week in December. And the hope was to get some feedback from you guys so that they can go. And then Al, they would have to, for their timeline, their submittal for UDC would be December 14th.
That's what we talked about last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To come back to you guys in January for initial approval.
Say brick and stone and terracotta are preferred, but that's in the guidelines, so you have some mm-hmm. leeway in that one. But you really do have to look at the ordinance because we're bound by what the council says.
No, and I understand that. But we've already run up against one requirement that we can't meet, which is all terraces along East Washington need to be 10 feet wide. Well, we have one on East Washington where we're curving back in. This is 8 feet 4 inches. So if we change that, we're going to have to change the infrastructure of the street. We have to narrow it to Washington, or replat it, move the property line back.
And that's what it was intended when they passed the plan. There are all kinds of things in there which are intended.
Whether this was good or not, it is the law of the city right now.
I understand.
We have no ability to change that. We can recommend that the council consider it, but we can't just toss it out. We can't let you just toss it.
So when you come back next time, you know, obviously you're just getting started, but I really would like to see them with the, you know, all sides of the building that we're going to see, so that we have a better understanding of what we're going to see. And I think it's true, you know, I really raised my hand because I had a moment there that David said something at the build meeting years ago where he's, you know, when we were talking about how prescriptive this ordinance could be, and he said, it's that we do that, there will be no means Van der Rohe. It's in my brain that you said that, David. And I was like, we need like means Van der Rohe. So, you know, to the extent that, you know, you need to go through it and then point out, like, where those spots are. But, I mean, hopefully you can do means Van der Rohe and, you know, fit most of the landscaping design guidelines, which I think will help recreate the street. And you really are the pioneer, so I'm going to try and hold you to those mm-hmm. because we really thought a lot about how to redesign the street. So, good luck.
I go for more Walter Gropius.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly. can I just make one comment here about this height request? It's not done randomly. This was a result of a very intensive just financial study here. You know, you've seen the aerial photos in there when we got up on a bucket on a crane. There's just not a lot of desirable stuff around there right now. There's the gravel lot with the MG&E substation across the street, and it isn't until we can break, we can kind of break that hold on the clutter on the ground that Otto actually gets a product that
I don't think we're hearing members of this commission object to the height.
No, it's the other thing. It's
but there's the also thing. The procedure. The council has set it up, and the council needs to change it, not this commission. We can recommend that we think it's fine, and if we get an ordinance that's been introduced, we can say fine.
But the point that Al made is that if you're not 10 feet, well, that's another thing. Then are we going to change every little piece of the ordinance, or can you just find ways that you looked at each one to try to comply with, and maybe this is the big one that makes sense, but all the other ones, you know, the canopy trees, I mean, I didn't really read this, but I'm sure I will.
There's a grove of them, you know. Primary edges is face time primary streets. If they're on the side, then there should be a corner as near to the primary street as possible. You know, there's
some
all kinds of things in
there. Well, and some of it, too, is they took the plan, and it's a plan. It's like when, you know, a time and place it was created. What's that?
This is an ordinance.
I know. Well, let me finish. They took the plan, and then they created the ordinances and laid out and put it into code,
yeah.
And with sort of nothing in the ground and no experience trying to do this. And so now this project is the first one coming to the table trying to take the ideas from the plan and put them into reality. And then this, you know, so I will talk more about some of the stuff in here when we actually get to the UDD, but, you know, realize that. And that is sort of the uncomfortable seat that I have to sit in terms of on the ordinance side of it. So.
I was not a big fan of the ordinance in it specifically, but that's what council
has.
But
you have worked on it.
I have worked on some parts of it, yes.
And the tours and everything.
Yeah, I know. Okay, the one thing we haven't talked about is the facade facing Reynolds and this sort of green wall is showing your illustration. Just talk about possible future expansion. What's sort of hanging there that's not told?
Well, we don't know. We know
well, that
we
don't know.
But at some point, Reynolds will be developed. We don't want that in 10 or 20 years. Part of the goals for the district is to share parking. We thought this would be a good opportunity to connect two internal parking areas. In the meantime, until that happens, we've got a nice steeple that, you know, actually, we'd like to put the steeple on.
no, you
But we do have a facade there that we would like to treat in a way that is interesting, that allows natural light and ventilation into the parking area, and can be a benefit to the neighborhood and the community.
Okay. Other questions, comments, commissioners? No? Anybody else in the audience?
Yep.
Make comments. Okay. Thank you for your information. We hope it's been a useful discussion with you. We'll look forward to future discussions with you, the neighbor, the council apparently too. Any other business by members?
Yeah. Laying the facade grant. I'm not on this project.